You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I am Joseph Silverswag, who's pumped, who's excited. It's Washington. Utah's 2-0. It's the big one. Let's do it. Blackout game. Utes equipment is lying to us about the uniforms. I'm having a lot of fun.
What are you talking
about? Oh, they're so lying. We'll make it a quick hitter. All right. Okay. So we're going to do quick hitters first.
Yep.
And then we are going to do really, really quick. And I know you guys are all tired of hearing about it. So I've got some ideas to really shorten down our recap. And we're just going to deep dive to Washington, because that's what this week is all about. But anyway, what do we have for quick hitters? I'll get to my fake uniforms. What else do we have?
So the schedule. There's a rivalry matchup coming up.
That's right.
In volleyball. Just
volleyball.
September 13th. So, and it's in Provo. Other events going on. Utah Valley is the Utes volleyball opponent after that. Soccer is playing Oklahoma. Cross country in another rivalry matchup at the BYU Autumn Classic.
All right. What a classic. The Autumn Classic.
Women's swimming is getting started, as well as men's. And then football. Washington. Saturday,
oh, man. Here we
8
go.
8 p.m. ESPN.
It's so late. I'm doing this one from the press box as well. And I get home at like 1 o'clock in the morning, because you watch the whole game and then you go to the interviews. And it's very late by the time you get home. Although there's no traffic by the time you get out of the interviews. So that's good. All right. My quick hitter is the uniforms are fake. If you've been on Twitter, you've seen Utes equipment or usually they'll post your uniforms on like Thursday or Friday.
Right.
But this time, Tuesday, they come out and like, here's the uniforms, all black, blackout game. And observant Twitter eyes noticed there was no 125-year patch on the uniforms. And they're pretty, I mean, they're nice. You know, it's the nice, shiny, chrome drum and feather up there on the black and a little bit of red. But the theory is that this is going to be the handcrafted helmet, and that the uniform is going to have some other twists. I am personally hoping for a Ute proud uniform with the Ute tribal design that they've had on the – I don't know if you guys bought any Ute proud stuff. It's great to buy because a lot of the proceeds go to a nonprofit that Utah started for the Ute tribe. But they've got patterns on there that are derived from the actual tribal patterns that the U tribe uses, and I'm hoping to see those incorporated into a helmet and uniform. So that's my, I mean, fingers crossed, you know, a guy can dream kind of thing. And it could be really cool. Or they could just have gotten a jump start on it and they're going to be exactly what they say. But the no 125 patch, Utah's wearing that patch on the left shoulder, that's a little odd. That suggests not the real uniform to me.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out in time, conspiracy theorists.
Yes. I'm expecting Friday.
Okay.
A special announcement.
All right. So, NIU.
All right. So, here's my plan. I want to do this. I want to do 3-4-word phrases that describe the game, and then just we're done. Because you guys have rehashed this ad nauseum. If you're here listening to our podcast, you've heard people talking about it all week. You listen to Whittingham's press conference. You listen to Whittingham's second press conference. I mean, you know what happened. You watch the game. So I want to kind of keep it quick. Can you think you can do that, Grant? Can you think you'd do three
forward phrases?
All right, what is it?
Which is, O-line troubles are real.
I'm going to give you O-line as one word, because that's how I spell it. But that's tight.
Line.
That's tight. But all right. O-line struggles are real. Okay. I agree with that. I won't use it as one of mine. Do you have any others?
Huntley is very good.
Yeah. He played really well. He's getting so much flack. particularly from some radio guys on both sides of the BYU aisle. But the guy completed 65% of his passes, 9.2 yards per attempt. The only reason the offense moved down, up and down the field was Tyler Huntley somehow getting through. You got another one?
Well, I just want to add, it's like I feel like so many people are giving Huntley grief. I mean, the kid's had no time to pass the ball.
I was thinking about that this morning. If he was Travis Wilson with a slower throwing motion, he would never have gotten the ball out, even. I mean, it would have, Utah would have lost with any of their previous two or three quarterbacks.
And may I also add that when we were talking to Eddie, all he listed off as far as players to watch were defensive players. Oh, so yeah. I wasn't surprised that NIU's defense was good.
No, they are good. And Sutton Smith's one of the best in the country. And you saw what I said on Twitter. Okay. My forward phrase is just like, oh, gosh. It's five, but I'm going to do it. Okay, I can do it. Like Utah Mountain West. Just like when Utah was in the Mountain West and Oregon State or Pitt or anybody would come play and just get punched in the teeth and go, wow, those guys really know how to play. They're well coached and they've got little, fast, mean defensive ends who a 6'6", 300-something pound tackle just can't handle very well. I tell you, one thing it made me dream of was, what if you line up Chase Hansen at defensive end against USC or Washington or Stanford, where they've got those big, heavy-footed linemen that are great. But, I mean, you imagine a 7 or 8-play drive against, you know, Mika Tafua, and you're feeling a little winded. But, you know, it's been a battle of the Titans. Suddenly there's Chase Hansen, half your size, twice your speed, with his foot hand of the dirt. That's tough. All right. How about Chase Hansen, a beast? He played so well.
Hey, pick six, baby.
Yeah, it was so nice when that happened, and I could finally draw a few full breaths. That was good. It's good because it was intense. It was one of those shoelace come untied. A guy slips on the wrong piece of turf, and you lose to NIU. So the buffer was nice. All right. I think that's enough for NIU.
I agree.
I think you guys know. I think we're there.
So here, one more thing before we get into Washington. How worried are you? I mean, you've...
About the season?
You've been spewing the most Kool-Aid of the people
yes.
I know.
Yes, so, I'm a Kool-Aid I'm not spewing Kool-Aid. I'm pouring Kool-Aid into
with a
crystal,
fire hose.
Into crystal champagne flutes with a fire hose. Those poor champagne flutes are dust. I'm not worried because I think that my model dramatically underestimated NIU, which happens because it doesn't do – there's a lot of good mathematical reasons for that. I don't do coaching adjustments or a lot of the other adjustments on out-of-conference games. I just assume average coach, average team – the rankings, the national rankings that I use to formulate them are mostly right. And I think they're mostly wrong about NIU. I think they're at least a touchdown or 10 points off when it comes to that defense. And if you factor that in and you factor some wonky special teams play, although there are real special teams issues, usually those issues aren't going to cost you 10 points in a game, which is what I estimate. I think you had that stuff together. It wasn't too far off the model, and most of the stats agree. They're not really budging Utah very much from where they were, and I think Utah is better than a lot of models do because Utah's consistently overperformed those models in a way that makes me confident that they'll continue to do so. And when you factor all that stuff in, I think it's still right there. I mean, and my win projections are 8-4 is the most likely. I think better than that is possible. I think they're missing things. I'm really excited about this season, but I still think we're about right where we're supposed to be. And even if Utah gets their butts kicked on Saturday, They can still win 9-10 games, win the Pac-12 South, go to the Rose Bowl or another New Year's Six Bowl. I mean, it's a long season. There's a lot of improvement to do. We're seeing issues that are real, and I think your assessment of the offensive line is spot on. There's a problem, and it's not going to fix overnight, and it's probably not going to fix this season unless it turns out that and I don't want to name names because I haven't looked at the film closely enough to feel like I can say so-and-so is a liability. But if they can say, okay, this guy who's playing right guard for 70% of the snaps or this guy who's playing left tackle for 80% of the snaps, we're going to switch him out with this freshman or sophomore, and lo and behold, the line improves. I still think that could happen. I think there could be a personnel change that'll make a big difference. I think you're already starting to see that at wide receiver because the drops right. were also a big issue and were a big issue against Weber State. And you're seeing, I mean, you look at the depth chart, Solomon Ennis is pushing, Jalen Dixon is pushing, Jameson Field is pushing, Bronson Boyd is pushing, and that's because they catch the GD ball. And the guys on top of the depth chart are not right now.
No,
with
they're
the
not.
Notable exception of Britton Covey, who's putting together a really, really nice season.
Yeah, so this far. Straight off of a mission. So that means like yes, next year is going to be insane,
I think this is so silly. But apparently he says he's supposed to say Peter as part of like a call when he's catching a punt to like get everybody out of the way. Uh-huh. And he's saying Pedro, which I know the return missionaries are always doing. Like, I just think in Spanish now. And I mean, that's I have a lot of thoughts about. You spent 2 years there. You spent the first 20 years of your life or so here. I feel like you can probably figure out how to think in English after a year back on home soil. But regardless, he's saying Pedro to call off the punt protection team. And maybe if he started saying Peter, they'd start freaking listening and stop getting hit in the back of the head with punts and turning the ball over. That would be nice because that's now happened twice.
So, I don't know. I kind of think the special team stuff is a fluke.
Probably is.
But
it's weird. And when you watch it, it looks weird. What I'm more concerned about is the lack of return yardage. That makes me think that the punt return team is maybe a little more discombobulated. But we'll see. Yeah, I think it's so – right, we're talking about – with offense, you're talking about 140-some plays at this point.
Special teams is like you.
15. Yeah, you did. Oh, gosh. We were going to talk about Washington. Here I go, talking about sample size. God, Grant.
So, Washington.
Oh, Grant. I need your help to stay on task. I need a narrow lane. I need tracks, train tracks, and you've got to just keep me on there.
I was being a bad host.
All right, you're the signal all right. man.
So,
green flag. Let's go. Washington.
Washington. I think a lot of fans are worried about Washington. And Utah fans are disappointed that we haven't crushed Weber and NIU
We crushed Weber, but okay.
Well, whatever. But I'm saying the combination of the two. And I think along with those lines, Washington fans are probably in the same boat.
They're really disappointed. I mean, you look at the top line numbers. You're like, well, they played Auburn close. Auburn's a top 10 team. You're not going to beat them. And I think if they played 10 times, they win 5 out of 5. I think that's what that game looked like as you were watching. It could go either way. But the bottom line numbers are not as good for Washington. A lot of the same problems, except worse. Gaskin is at 4 yards per carry, which is not good. Before you say, well, Auburn's defense, he had less than 4 against North Dakota, 3.53 against North Dakota. That's rough.
Well, I felt like in North Dakota, I didn't watch the game, but they didn't play well. Followed along, it seemed like they were just sleepwalking most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But then you run into the same question that you're asking about the Utes. Are they sleepwalking? Or are they not as good as we thought? And we don't know yet. And what's exciting about this game is that no one's going to sleepwalk through a second, right? I mean, this is going to be – we're going to get to see what they have. And I'm looking forward to that. Browning, 59% completion percentage, three picks, three touchdowns, not having a great season. And the lines on both sides are really struggling. D-line is 113th in tackles for loss, only seven.
That's Washington's D-line.
Yeah, four sacks is 55th. The O-line is also struggling, allowed 15 tackles for a loss, 103rd, and five sacks, which is 89. Now, Utah is worse than both of those O-line numbers after last week's brutal, brutal offensive line show. They looked bad and outmatched and out-game-planned, and it was bad. But the D-line I find more interesting because that means that this may be more – I think it's likely that this line will present less of a challenge to Utah's offensive line than NIU. Not the whole defense, because Washington's got a great linebacker core, got great secondary, and on the whole is a better defense. But the particular problem last week was their four guys versus Utah's five guys, and it wasn't working. And this one, I think, has more hope. And then on the other side of things, you start looking at Utah's chances to start racking up some numbers. You know, Utah's leading the nation in a lot of critical statistical areas, including things like tackles. Tackles for loss aren't great, but they're very strong numbers. They've got six sacks on the season, which is 26th. They've got, I don't know what the tackles for loss, but it's better than 26th. Let me see if I know. Oh, yeah, 19 is 10th in the nation. So far showing a very aggressive, very effective front seven in terms of getting to the quarterback and getting to the rusher behind the line of scrimmage. And that's something Washington has struggled to stop, not just against Auburn, but also against North Dakota. I think their real weakness is there up against the real strength of Utah's. So Browning could be looking at a game like the one he had against Auburn, where Huntley is going to have a little more time. And Huntley has shown some very impressive things throwing the ball so far this year.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard for me to say he's going to have more time than Huntley. I think they're both going to have very short time frames in which to throw the ball, and it's going to be about those short routes. It's going to be a lot about Britton Covey and the slot receivers. You know, hopefully we see more Ennis and more Dixon, who are clearly showing that they're ready to play right now. And I don't know, the offensive line, that predicates how your offense goes. I don't care how good Huntley is, and we both are in agreement that he's really good. And we all agree that Zach Moss is a beast as well and really good. But this offensive line hasn't proven they can move anybody.
Yeah, they have to play at a replacement level. And yeah, right now, up to now, they haven't. And the question is, how hard have they been trying? Sometimes it's hard to motivate yourself as an O-lineman.
NIU,
that's not fun. Can you imagine up against – I mean, it's not an important game, so you haven't really gotten yourself up for it. And then you're up against these guys who are just vicious and really making you work for everything. It's kind of easy, I think, to throw in the towel and say, our defense will let them score 3 points, which – happened, and we'll be fine. And they were. And there's a lot of kind of weird psychological stuff there that I don't usually factor in. And so my default is there's a problem with the O-line, but maybe less of a problem against Washington, because you've got a range of, you know,
yeah,
they have their best game, they have their worst game. This will probably be Utah's worst offensive line performance of the year, almost certainly. It's really hard to do worse than that. Goodness knows how many sacks and 14 tackles for loss. It's hard to do worse.
All the stuff that they were, what was it? I think Britton Covey said it. I think Jackson Barton said it. Coach Witt said it. Is that after looking at the tape, the offense wasn't as bad as we all think it is. And so maybe they're right. Until they prove otherwise, they're wrong. And that's the thing. It's like, I understand if you play flat to start the game and NIU's pushing you around, and we're getting back into reviewing NIU too much. But this correlates with Washington in the sense that you may start the game flat, but that shouldn't exist the whole game.
It's not the way it works, yeah.
And that's why it's hard for me to say it's a mental thing and they just overlooked them, which I'm sure they were. Heck, I overlooked them. I didn't care.
They all did.
And now we're playing Washington and, you know, supposedly we're not overlooking. I would really hope that no one's overlooking Washington at this point.
Yeah.
But that's the only excuse for playing that bad against NIU. And here we are playing a top 10 opponent. How are you going to perform? I don't trust this O-line at all. And what sucks is we have the skill players, got a great quarterback,
and you can really
back,
tell. I mean, it really looks different. The guys are wide open.
Yep.
The quarterback is on the money. The running back looks like a Sherman tank. Why can't we score a whole bunch of points? It was very frustrating. It was frustrating watching an offense that looks like it. I mean, we're not talking about A-Rod, four curls on third and eight. You know what I mean? I mean, this offense works, and it does the right things, and it plays the right way. But the points aren't coming, and it's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating for the players as well, I imagine.
And that's why projecting and predicting this Washington game is really tough for me, because I understand that their defensive line isn't performing great, mm-hmm. but our offensive line has been abysmal.
Yeah.
And so they should I just don't see Huntley having any time back there again.
Yeah. So a few things are, I expect them to be closer to what I projected them to be preseason in this game than they were in the last game, because the last game is almost certainly going to prove to be an outlier, right? That's when you look at you're going to eventually be able to draw a bell curve of offensive line performance over the course of this whole season. And the last game is going to be way over on the left side of the curve. And this game is probably going to be in the middle somewhere. And there's a lot of reasons to think that's true, mostly just that's the way it always happens, and that's a very reliable sort of mathematical rule. But the thing I keep coming back to is, how good does the offense really need to be? I mean, what was the final score of the Auburn game, 12-9?
No. I think it was like 16-10.
16-10. If it was 16-10, or somewhere in there, right? Under 20 points for both teams. If Utah scores 21 and plays defense as well as they've played defense the last two games, they're going to win.
Correction. We're both wrong. I got one of the scores right.
Okay.
21-16, Auburn.
If Utah scores the same number of points Auburn scored, they'll win. Because Utah's defense is as good, and I don't think you'll see, unless there's pick sixes or something, I just don't see a high-scoring game. So if this is a low-ebb performance, and there were matchup problems, and we're not going to have those problems in this game, and they do a mediocre performance, and instead of being stymied by penalties at the absolute worst moment, they're not, and they score a few more touchdowns, send a missing field goals, they don't, and there's a few more points there, and Utah puts up 18, 25, 28, they'll win the football game. Like it's not. And that's what I keep coming back to. And I know fans want points, and I get that, and I want points too. But there's more than one way to win a football game, and Utah has always won them the other way, where you score enough, and they don't. And that's a good way to win football games. It works for the best teams in the country. And the ones who win the other way, what tends to happen is they run into a real defense that plays disciplined football, and they flop. And that doesn't happen to teams like Wisconsin and Alabama and Washington and Stanford. They win a lot of football games that way. And it's not flashing. It's not as fun. And the offense could be way better than it has been. I don't mean to be like, hey guys, everything's great. No, that was bad. It's been bad. You're allowed to feel badly about it. But it's probably going to get better. And if it gets better in the way that you can reasonably expect, it's going to be good enough for Utah to win a lot of football games, including the one on Saturday.
Okay, so we now know, let's review. Their defensive line hasn't been fantastic, nor has their offensive line.
It's been really
line.
Bad. I mean, both against North Dakota.
Otherwise, all the other matchups, I feel, are all pretty even.
Yep, I'd say that's true.
And so, prediction time, Joseph.
Oh, gosh. So my numbers, I haven't done them yet, but they're going to come around, I think, Washington plus 4. I think that's where we're going to be. Where Washington will win this game by 4 points, somewhere like 21-17 is probably what my number is going to predict. But I'm going to pick a win. I'm going to do it. I'm gonna pick Utah.
Kool-Aid drinking Joseph. Picking
Utah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Utah 23, Washington 17. That's what I'm going to say. That's a lot of field goals. It's 4 touchdowns between the two teams and a lot of field goals. And I think Matty Gay is going to put it back on ice and get a bunch of points for us.
24-21. Matt Gay with the game-winning
field goal. Yay! We're in agreement. All right. I think Utah's going to be leading.
I want special teams to win this game after the first 2 weeks.
And then after the last few games, remember that punt return with the 17 blocks in the back? It's time for a couple special teams.
Special teams win for Utah's
way. Yeah. Yep. But no, I think Utah's going to be leading. I think they're going to be leading in the second half, and I think Washington's going to have to drive to try to win the game and not be able to get it done. I think it's going to be a pretty good win.
Well, all I have to say is if we're both right and Utah wins, bandwagon is going to be filling up quick.
It's going to be really fun to watch the yo-yo between third quarter of the NIU game fourth quarter of Washington as the goalposts are coming down. You're like, oh, okay, I can get behind this. But I think it's so possible. It's so well within the realm of possibility. I think it's probably a 60-40 game for Washington in reality. But that's not bad. That's where you want to be as an underdog who doesn't recruit at a top 10 level. That's a pretty good place to be. And I think Utah's got the better quarterback. I think Utah's got the better running back. And I think Utah's got the better defense. So if the O-line can just perform at what I said, a replacement level, a Pac-12 average, I think everything else is going to fall into place.
All right. Get excited, Utah fans.
I know I am. I'm so pumped. I'm really thrilled.
It's a big game. It's a big time. I think it'll change all of our definitions of success this season. And
either way, right?
Either way.
It's got to be a huge game for our expectations.
They get run off the field, and everyone's like, all right, let's just get bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fix the offensive line for next season, hopefully. And we're good. Like, expectations managed.
Yes.
Or they win the game.
Really go through the roof if they win the game.
They win the game. It's going to be intense. And all of a sudden we're like, we're a top 10 team. We're going to be in the pack. We're going to win the Pac-12 South. We're going
to go to the playoffs.
I'm planning on booking tickets to the national championship game.
Why not? They beat Washington.
All kinds of madness if Utah, especially if Utah blows Washington out.
Oh, man. If it's like Oregon.
Like Oregon, can you imagine?
That was so fun. That would be even more fun at home.
Everyone would be flipping.
Yeah.
Flipping
out. Yep, it would be exciting. And then I would be in the really weird place of having to talk everybody down from that. And talking about how the bell curve has two ends. But we'll get there, hopefully, after a 62-10 win, which Grant just predicted. He said it was going to be just like Oregon, 52-point victory for the Utes.
What if?
All right.
That was sincere.
That's not what Grant predicted.
No, 24-21, Matt Gay kicks a game-winning field goal.
23-17.
All right. I'll take it.
Gentlemen, ladies, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to U Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at U Talk Podcast or email at utalk@gmail.com.